Greetings, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We are now in Bava Kama, Masachah Bava Kama, Daf Zayin Amud Bet, near the bottom of the Amud, picking up in the middle of our discussion about Meitav, paying for Nezikin from the best of the land. Rabbi Abba's asked the following question. Kishein Shamin, when we estimate land for paying Meitav, do we estimate it based on your own standards of land, meaning your own differentiated land, or is there a global standard? Now, Libet Rabbi Shmuel Loti Ba'elach. Within Rabbi Shmuel's approach, there's nothing to ask. Because he says that we count based on the Nizak, we reckon based on the Nizak, and that's very simple. You damage somebody else's property, whatever his best land is, you've got to give him that kind of land. The question is, within Rabbi Kiva, who says you pay from your best land of the payer, what my? Meitav sadeu rachmana, when the Torah says meitav sadeu, lemu'ute denizak, that means your best, and not based on the best of the guy who was damaged. Or dilma, lemu'ute d'almanami, maybe it's also saying, not the global standard, but your best. So Amar Rabbi Abba answered back, Rahman Amar Meitav Sadehu, the Torah said the best of his field, the guy who's paying, according to Akiva. If you're talking about Mishalolam and Shamin, and you think there's some global standard? So now the questioner, or perhaps later, challenged that reading of saying it's simply Mishalol and Shamin with the following, Eitavei, Ein lo ala Idit, let's say the guy only has Idit. Somebody's got land, and he's got a Nezikin, and Balchov, and Ketubah, they're all coming to collect from him. If all he has is Idit, Kulam Govim Min Idit, that's easy. Beinonit, Kulam Govim Min Beinonit. Ziburit, Kulam Govim Ziburit. Okay. Hayulo Idit, Ziburit, Beinonit, Beinonit, Ziburit. Let's say he has all three. Then we know the halacha. Nezik can be Idit, Balchov, Mi Beinonit, but Isha be Ziburit. That's the Mishnah in Gittin. Now, Idit to Beinonit. This is where it gets interesting. Let's say he has only Idit to Beinonit. So Nezik can be Idit. They get Idit. Balchov, Ktuvat Isha Beinonit. Obviously, because the Nezikin can get what they're supposed to get, Balchov gets what he's supposed to get, and the Ketubah, there's no Ziburit, so she collects Beinonit. Beinonit v'Ziburit, let's mix it up a little bit. What if he doesn't have superior land? Nezikin or Balchov Beinonit, so Nezikin can't get Idit, they get Beinonit, Balchov gets Beinonit anyways, Ketubah Tisha v'Ziburit, she gets a regular thing. Idit v'Ziburit, the third possibility, the final possibility, is if you only have Idit v'Ziburit, Nezakin be Idit, that's easy. And the question would be Balchov, Balchov, Ketubah Tisha b'Ziburit. That's the whole layout. Now, the part we're interested in is the penultimate clause. Ketani mi ha-metzia, Beinun v'Ziburit, if you only have Beinun v'Ziburit, Nezik no Balchov v'Beinunit. They get Beinunit. And the interesting part is, of course, that Balchov gets Beinunit. Ketubah Tisha b'Ziburit. V'yamart b'Shaloin Shalin, but if you think that the standards are all within the person's own property, Te'aseh Beinunit Shalo ki Idit, then his Beinonit really is his Idit. It's the best thing he has. So then why is the Balchov allowed to collect from his Beinonit, which is really his best? The Balchov should be pushed to collect from Ziburit, which proves to you that we must use some sort of a global standard. And what he has is Beinonit, based on the global standard. No, the answer is, we're talking about a case where he used to own three kinds of land. He sold his Idit. So now he has, what he has is Beinonit and his Ziburit. His Idit is no longer there. We believe that that's the case. Why? Because we have another Braita that says Beinonit v'Ziburit, in the case, the second of the three variations that we had, Nezakin v'Beinonit, Balchov v'Ktuvah Tisha v'Ziburit. It read it differently. In our Braita, it said Nezikin and Balchov get Beinonit. And Ketubah get Ziburit. In this one, it said Nezikin get Beinonit, and the other two get Ziburit. And the issue, of course, is the Balchov. And Kashin Adadi, we know that there is obviously a contradiction. Alav Shma Mina, so how do we reconcile it? Kain Shaitalo Iditu Machra. In the first case, he already had Idit. He sold it. So this Beinonit is Glot Beinonit. The second case, a case where he never had Idit, all he's got is these two pieces of land, Beinonit v'Ziburit, and therefore the Balchov has to collect the second grade land, which is Ziburit. That's answer one to the contradiction we just pointed out, and to defending the position of B'Shalohen Shamin against this attack. Now, v'bayit ema, we have another resolution of the problem, which is idi v'idish lo ayta lo ididu mechura. Maybe in neither case he ever had ididu. Beinu nizibui, that's all he's ever had. V'lo kasha, hadishavi beinu nishalo ki ididu alma. Perhaps we really reckon it v'shalo, but, we reckon it all b'shalo olam. But if his Beinonit is the same as the Edit of the world, in other words, the world has its own standard, he's got really great land. So his Beinonit, what he's calling Beinonit, is as good as the Edit of the world. And if it's not as good, then the Baal Chov will collect from that. If it is as good, the Baal Chov has to go one grade down to Ziburit. Could be that his Beinonit is regular standard Beinonit. That might be in the machloket. In the first braita that said the Baal Chov collects from Beinonit, that's because we reckon it b'shalolam. And b'shalolam, this is Beinonit. The one who says he collects from Ziburit is because it's b'shalolam and shamin, and that Beinonit is his best. So therefore he gets the Ziburit. Now Ravina Amar had another answer. B'de'ula pligi, they're disagreeing about Ula's statement. Amar Ula advartar b'chov b'ziburit. Really, mi da'oraita b'chov can only collect ziburit. How do we know? Shinamar, in the case of collateral, the Torah says, b'chutz tamod, you're not allowed to come into somebody's house to seize collateral. You stand outside. V'aisha sharatan oshevo yitzei alachat avot achutz. The person you are trying to seize from will bring the vessel, the collateral, out. Now, ma darko shel adam lotzi lachutz, what kind of per thing does he bring out? Pachot shebekelim, brings the cheapest thing. In other words, you can only collect from the worst. This is an allusion to the idea that that mid d'oraita, you can only collect from the worst level, from ziburit. Good. And uma tamam ru baal chov beinonit. So why did Chachamim say that a baal chov really collects from beinonit? This was a big concern. We don't want to keep people from lending money. And to make sure that that doesn't happen, we say that you who lend money, you'll be able to collect from Beinonit. Good. Mar id le takonta de ula. So therefore, our brighta accepts the takon of Ula and says, really, we always have to make sure he gets Beinonit if it's available. Umar lately takon to the Ula. And the second brighta says, there is no such takona. And really, Baal Chov always collects Ziburit. Okay, good. Now let's see. Tanu Rabbanan, machar le'achad olu shlosha b'nei adam ke'achad. If you sold all your land to one person, or to three different people as one, we'll see what that means. Kulan nechazu tachar abayim. They all come in place of the original owner. Meaning, if the original owner had debts, and they assume those debts, meaning they don't assume the debts, but their property is now subject to that lien. Now, b'zachar zeh, but if you sold them in sequence, kulam govin racharon, anybody who's a creditor of the original owner comes and collects from the last guy who bought. Why? Based on the basic rule that we're going to see explicated a little later, that ein govim minachasim mishubadim makom shish b'nei chorin. You never allowed to collect from mishubadim if they're b'nei chorin. So when he sold land A, B and C were still his. When he sold land B, C was still his. When he sold C, C was the one that all the liens fell on. So everybody goes and collects from C. Ein lo, if there's not enough in C, govim shonav, then he goes to B. Ein lo, govim shonav, then he go back to A. Now, let's see how this works. Machan lechad hechidami. How do you have a situation where he sold it to one person? Ilim avat achat. If you think he sold all of his land to one person in one deal, hashlo shloshadi kolim emrachad minau kadim. When you had three and you could have said one came first, amarta kolon chazut achad abaylim. You said that they all take the place of the original owner. They all step into his position. Machran lechad mibaya. So if he sold it to one person all at once, do you need to then tell me? It must be when he sold to one, he sold it in sequence. So how come if he sold to three in sequence, then they go in reverse chronology about assuming the lien? Because each guy will say, the reason I only bought some of the land was to leave more land for you to collect from. So don't collect from me, collect from the last guy who bought it. So how come if he sells to one person in sequence, the guy can turn around and say, I didn't buy that land when I bought all the other land, I bought C, and then I bought B, and then I bought A, sorry, I bought A, and then I bought B, and then I bought C, to make sure that you'd have C to collect from. So, Achamayaskinen, what's the case? Gingon Shalakach Idit Bacharona. Here's the case. He bought A, then he bought B, and then he bought C, which was Idit. Rav Sheshit interpreted it that way also. That the only reason, because we have to interpret that when you sold it to one person, you sold it in segments, in stages, because otherwise it's a no-brainer, and it had to be that the last thing sold is Idit, and that's why you will, and we'll see why that's the case, you, the buyer, are going to have them collect from Beinoni and Ziburit if they're Baal Chov and Isha. So if that's the case, why doesn't everybody collect from Idit if Idit was the last one? Because the buyer can say to them, if you guys take what's coming to you, which means a woman collects Ziburit and a Baal Chov collects a Beinonit Shaklitu, then fine. Vilo, then if not, Madarna Shtara de Ziburit Lamare. I'm going to send the Shtar of the Ziburit back to the original owner, Shaklita Kuchumi Ziburit, and then you can go collect from him and you get a Ziburit. Because that goes back to the original owner, who's the guy that owes you the money. So Ihachi, if that's the case, why can anybody collect from him? Even Nazikim, he should make that threat. What are we talking about? We're talking about where the original owner who had all these debts died. And his heirs don't assume the debt. And the Shibud then sits on the land, but not on them. And therefore, he doesn't have him selling it back to the Yotamim isn't going to do anything for himself. So, Hilkach Leikel, the Memrahachi, but everybody reads that this line as a question, but he still can't make that threat. He can make the threat. Alamishum da Marlahu, this is the reason. Tam, Amaya, Marabon, and Nifor, Nuchasim, Shuban, Mokam, Shesh, Bnei Chorin. Why did the rabbis say that you cannot collect from Nechasi Meshubadim if there's Bnei Chorin? In other words, a debtor has 5 pieces of land. After he assumes these debts, he sells 3 of them. The halacha is you can't collect from any of those 3 that are already sold to somebody else as long as the other two are available. Why did they make that reason? Shum takanta didi, the buyer say that's for my benefit. In other words, when I buy land from somebody, if I know he still has other land, I don't have to worry about the fact that he has debts because I can collect from those debts. That's my protection. In this case, I can say, I'm not interested in that takana. You can come and collect from my Meshubadim. Which means then, when I bought Edith last, and I made the threat that I did, you come to me and say, oh, I want to have the Edith. I said, you know what? The Edith is available only as a takana to my benefit, which allows you, which forces you to collect from Bnei Chorin before you collect from my Meshubadim. I forego that benefit. And we know that you can do such a thing, Gedurava. Tamarava kol ha'omer yafshiba takona chamim konzu. Anybody who says, I don't want to get the benefit of a takona made for me, shomin lo, you're allowed to. Maiki gonzu, what's the model case? Kedravuna damravuna, yicholai shash tomar labala inuchunizon rei niosa. A woman has the right to say to her husband, I will not collect mizonot money from you, a food payment from you, and my wages I keep. In other words, the reason that a woman's wages go to her husband is compensation for the fact that he gives her mizonot. But let's say that the woman earns $100,000 a year and her food bill is $50 a year. She'll say, all right, $5,000 a year. She can say, you know what, I'll feed myself and I keep my wages. And she has a right to do that because the takana was made for her benefit. So therefore, in the same way here, the buyer can say, the reason that normally you can't collect from the first land I bought and you can only collect from the last land I bought is a benefit to me to make sure that you can't collect from my Meshubadim when there's still Bnei Chorin. I forego that. And now I'm going to put all the lands together and you have to collect the proper piece. All right, now picking up on that, Pshita, Machar Lokeach Beinonit V'Ziburit V'Shi'er Idit Lefanav, the Lokeach, who bought all this guy's lands. Now he sells further, and he sold the Beinoni Ziburit, and all he had in front of him was the Idit. Leitukulu ligvu miidit. Everybody can collect from the Idit. Right? Tachronahi. Because that's the last thing left. O Beinoni Ziburit, leitanu gabe, dematsi the memorahu. The Beinoni and Ziburit aren't there anymore for him to be able to say what we just said. Come Beinoni Ziburit, tulunechlu takan to drabonon. I'm forgoing the takana drabonon, and you go collect from Beinoni Ziburit. He can't say that anymore because they're not around. But so that's simple. Amachar idit v'shir benin v'ziburit. Let's say the opposite. Let's say he sold his idit and held on to the benin v'ziburit. My, what can he do? So Abaya says, "Atukulu gav midit." They can all go to the second buyer and get the idit. Amalei Rava, mamachar rishon l'sheni kol zchut shtavol liyado. Rava says that doesn't make sense. After all, what did the first guy sell to the second guy? Meaning the original seller sell to the second guy any zchut that comes to him. He comes with this land. He gets. After all, had the first lokeach, the first buyer, held on to all the lands, he could have pushed them to the Beinoni v'Ziburi based on his claim of I'm not just in Takan Dechamim. Even though when originally the Beinoni v'Ziburi were sold, the Edit was Bnei Chorin, so really it should stick on there. As we said, the rule is you can't collect from a Shubanim when there's Bnei Chorin. Nonetheless, the first buyer could have said, I don't want that Takana. And therefore, you cannot collect from the Edit. So now the Lokeach Sheni, the guy who bought from him, the second buyer, Matzimala, he can also say the same thing. Gavi Beinonit Viziburit, go collect from the Beinonit Viziburit that are still with the first buyer. The Chizovin Lokeach Sheni, when I bought it, I dat the choschut the havei l'rishon begavah zavin. I bought it based on having all of the schuyot of the first buyer. Since the first buyer could have pushed to the Beinoni v'Ziburit, I bought the edit based on that idea also. And since I had the schut when I bought the edit to put, I bought with the edit the schut to push to the Beinoni v'Ziburit, I'm holding on to that, and therefore you can't collect from my edit. That's how Rava presents it. Okay, we'll finish up the sugya of Meitav, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.